Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Michael, why don't you grab Micah?
Jerry Jones ain't trading him.
I can't believe I'm about to say these words. Wow. Micah Parsons is a Green Bay Packer.
This is something that I never thought would happen.
I'm kind of rolling this morning. You're kind of like, did that really happen?
The defense should be better than the offense.
This is the day of August 28th, 2025, that Packers fans will talk about forever.
Knocking on the door, Brian Gutekunst put his foot through the door, knocked it open, put the entire league on notice.
They overpaid for him.
Done only one other pass rusher in the NFL to have at least a dozen sacks in the first 4 years of his career. That's what you
want. I used the term fleeced yesterday, and I wasn't sure if I was being hyperbolic. And Mr. Golden Fleece, green and golden fleece.
Green and golden fleece, indeed, as the Packers acquire outside linebacker, defensive end, edge rusher, stud, three-time All-Pro, Micah Parsons. I almost said Micah Robinson because the Packers just signed him to the practice squad moments ago.
Oh, wow.
They decided 2 days in a row they needed Micah news. So Micah Robinson.
Powerful name. Squad.
Yeah, it is. Now they've got two of them. Brad Northman, Alex Stroff with you. Chris Larson running the show. It's Kyle Bruston-Northman, ESPN Wisconsin. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. The all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. People are still reeling from Tentacle Brad.
Oh. Has people never considered the power and range of tentacles?
Stop it. Chris chimes in. Actually, I'm not going to read that. Adam chimes in. That is by far the most bizarre analogy Brad has ever given. it without it, that is.
Say what you want, but of all the sea creatures, I would not want to meet in the ocean. The giant squid has to be at the top of the list.
How about a great white shark? Killer whale.
Squid.
Let's continue to get some phone calls. Love seeing everybody from KBN Nation chime in on what is a historic couple of days here for almost coming up on 24 hours. We're at 23 hours and 8 minutes since the news was announced for the Green Bay Packers. I can't get over it. It's unbelievable. We're 9 days away from game day. I cannot wait to see Micah Parsons in a Packers jersey going after Jared Goff in 9 days.
Okay, speaking about that, listening to Wildy and Tausch this morning, 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin, they were talking about a pitch count for Micah Parsons, right? Because he hasn't really done much all training camp. He's going to come and quick turnaround. Do you have any level of concern for this critical early week of the Lions and the Commanders? Two games where, I mean, you can't go 0-2. Going 1-1 would be a victory of sorts, I guess. But for a team that's Super Bowl bound or trying to win the division, you can't go 0-2. Do you have any level of concern that he might be on a pitch count and maybe not ready for week one?
No. Okay. Here's how I look at his back injury that he was allegedly getting a second opinion on.
Spinal.
He's getting a second opinion on. You know what? You're older than me, so you might know this better than me. I'm not trying to age you by any means.
Okay.
But, you're older than me. You might understand this a little bit better. You ever sleep weird and you wake up and go, ah?
Oh, kind of hurts. Yeah. More and more, unfortunately.
You know, Micah Parsons took a nap on that training table.
Mm.
I think he kind of just slept on it weird.
Yeah, not known for its lumbar support, tables.
Yeah, no, that's a good point by you. No, not known for its lumbar support. That is not an IKEA mattress by any means.
Not therapeutic.
No. He's fine. Okay. Is he on a pitch count? Maybe because he doesn't know the scheme, but also like, it's Micah freaking Parsons, dude. Just go out there and wreak havoc.
I guess
I don't care what you do. Just go.
I guess the reality is if you play, I don't know, 70 defensive snaps, maybe he doesn't play 35 of the first down likely run plays.
Yeah.
Any given passing down, he's out there, and he's going to do what he does best anyway.
Yeah,
so
he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-990-3776. Let's start in Cedarburg. Mitch in Cedarburg, appreciate your patience. You are on KBN. What's up, Mitch?
Hey there. I just got a lot of excitement, you know, every time that this tentacle sucker of joy comes around and
nice.
A little bit of Mike of excitement out, I just think about Xavier McKinney in the background coming and grabbing that ball. And then I think about Edrin Cooper running down that middle and getting his own sack. So it's just the more that you think more about Parsons, I'm just so excited about this defense and what they're going to do. And our Super Bowl window is not a window. It's a garage door that's ripped wide open, and it's ready to go.
Damn, that's a good call by Mitch right there. Well done,
I like
Mitch.
That analogy. That's a healthy analogy.
You're such a dork. he threw in the tentacle reference at the top there for you. Yeah, Mitch, look, I think you're pointing at something that we probably haven't done a good enough job of, you know, the last 3 hours the two of us have been on the air together, which would be the 1 hour of the Micah Parsons trade yesterday and then the first 2 hours today, is they have an elite player, or a player you feel like can be elite at every level of the defense, right? Micah Parsons has obviously already reached elite level. He mentioned Xavier McKinney at safety. He was an All-Pro last year, so you can go ahead and dub him elite. And Edgerrin Cooper won two Defensive Player of the Week awards, not rookie, Defensive Player of the Week awards in the NFC last year. He's the first Packer to do that since Clay Matthews. He is the first Packers rookie to do that, well, ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the reasons why we pose the question, which side of the ball are you most excited to watch for the Green Bay Packers, offense or defense? I'm casting my vote for the defense because I just love watching greatness, Strofe, and there's greatness littered all over that field. And we know there's bona fide, proven greatness in Micah Parsons and Xavier McKinney, but you talk about all the young talent that is trending toward greatness. You just talked about Edgerrin Cooper, an absolute flash on the football field. Mm-hmm. He's a playmaker, a walking playmaker. In eight games, I think that I have the most, maybe outside of McKinney, I have the most like visceral memories of Edgerrin Cooper making plays. He only played eight games, but you even think about Evan Williams. I mean, he is a stud. He's a missile coming down there, playing next to Xavier McKinney. So when I look at Super Bowl teams and I say, man, I mean, at every level, they got studs. Yeah, how do you beat them? That's now the Green Bay Packers.
Totally.
Now, and they're not perfect, right? You still look at the cornerback room and you say, well, you know, we'd love a bona fide cornerback one and interior D line. But if you even ask, you know, Jason Wilde about his most optimistic player, he sings the praises of Quay Walker turning the corner before, you know, he had his injury last year. And Isaiah McDuffie is so consistent. So this defense has gone from liability 2 years ago to a reason why this team had success to maybe the reason why this team will have success next year. It's that big of a difference. I just love watching greatness, and there's greatness all over that defense.
An analogy or a phrase I always struggle with, which I'm going to get right today: a rising tide lifts all boats.
Mm.
Right? So that would
we're back to the sea.
Kind of viewing like, I literally hate you. I hate you. Rising tide lifts all boats. So what that essentially means is floor and ceiling, right? The ceiling of the defense was lifted yesterday by adding an elite defender in Micah Parsons. So the basement for the defense is now very high, because now it's going to take pressure off the cornerbacks. It's going to take pressure off the safeties. It's going to take pressure off Rashawn Gary. It's going to take pressure off Edgerrin Cooper when he's flying around attempting to make plays. Micah Parsons just changed the expectations for this defense. Now, in regards to the question we're asking you, 800-990-3776, which group are you more excited to watch, the offense or the defense, for the Packers in 2025? I actually go offense. Here's why. I saw what I needed to see last year out of the Packers defense, to know they're a good defense and a group I can trust.
Oh, yeah.
If they're up 4 or 3 with the game on the line, I actually don't feel awful about them being out there under Jeff Hafley. I feel very confident, now more confident. Now, I'm obviously still very excited to watch them with the addition of Micah Parsons, but I have more questions / things I'm trying to figure out / excited to see on the offense side.
Oh, interesting angle. Okay, so you're almost more intrigued by the offense.
Yeah, intrigued is probably the better word, maybe, but Matthew Golden, I'm so excited for him. Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave on the field at the same time, which we have not really ever seen because they haven't been healthy together in their first 2 years in the league. So excited to see that. There are so many parts about this Packers offense that I'm really, really excited to see. Excited to see Josh Jacobs cook again because he was terrific last year in year one. Excited to see a healthy Jordan Love, right? I mean, we didn't get to see a healthy Jordan Love last year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I am more excited to watch the offense because I know what I'm getting on the defense. Maybe I don't know what I'm getting now because Micah Parsons just changed what I'm getting from this defense.
Do you remember,
in a good way.
Do you remember the thought exercise we used to do last year and a little bit of the year before? Would you rather, end of game scenario, would you rather be have the lead and the defense is on the field, or would you rather be behind and the offense on the field?
I do remember this thought exercise. Yes.
I was in the camp of I would rather have Jordan Love have the ball and be behind than have our defense on the field, because it felt like you could never get the stop.
Hey,
and statistically speaking, only like 20% of drives end up with points being scored. So statistically, you'd say I'd want the lead. Now it's not even close.
Dude, you want to know where I'm at? I don't care. They're going to win. That's how good I feel about the Packers now. Like, yeah, I think you're probably right. If you made me choose a side, yeah, I'd probably pick the defense because they have a game record on every level, I think. I really do believe Edgerrin Cooper will evolve into that. I think Xavier McKinney's already that in the defensive backfield at the last line of defense. And then way up front, I mean, they have one of the best players in the league now. The answer is probably defense. But I feel like this offense was improved this offseason. I think the offensive line's improved. I think the wide receiver room is improved by just the simple addition of Matthew Golden. And the tight end room is healthy together at the beginning of the season. And again, that's something we haven't seen now entering year three with both these guys, Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave. So I Jordan Love, man, it's a big year for him. I think this move adds a little bit of pressure to him. I think you could make a case that he's the NFC quarterback with the most pressure on him.
Oh, yeah.
He got paid all that money. They put all the chips in the middle of the table and said, we're all in. So you can make a case, yeah, Jordan Love is the quarterback under the most pressure. But we have seen his finest moments. I believe he is capable of doing that again in 2025.
And maybe this is something that we get to on the other side. Do you believe the Packers are the best team in the NFC now?
Oof. I have to think about that, and we can get to that at some point today. I do want to get to a bunch of calls on the other side, because okay, Pete's been hanging on patiently, Ben's been hanging on patiently, and we haven't heard from our guy Ricardo in Canada yet, who I'd like to do on the other side as well. So we'll get to some of your calls coming up. We will talk about that. We've got the parody song yet in 3 o'clock hour. We've got a ton to get to. It's the Micah Parsons Excitement Party. KBN, Kyle Bruston, Nortman, Alex Stroh, Brad Nortman, Chris Larson with you. We roll on. Your calls are next.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Kyle Bruston Nortman with you on a celebratory Friday. Micah Parsons is a Green Bay Packer. I almost called him Michael, like Jerry Jones did a few times in his press conference last time. Alex Stroh, Brad Nortman, Chris Larson hanging out with you until 5 o'clock. ESPN Milwaukee until 4 o'clock at ESPN Madison and ESPN Beaver Dam. The reaction will continue there, though. Don't you worry. Sometimes you see a YouTube comment, it just makes you laugh. Like DRGN on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube. Last night felt like coming down off of some crazy drugs. I'll never get that high again in my life. What a moment for the Packers. Go Pack. Absolutely. Yeah, well said.
Crazy.
I don't have that frame of reference, but I understand the analogy.
Yeah, I mean, there's truth laced in that comment, I suppose. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Laced?
Laced. Yeah, I got it, okay, Brad. Good, I didn't need to spell it out.
Good. I'm on fire today, baby. Me and Goody.
Pete Madison has been hanging patiently to get out and give his thoughts on Micah Parsons. Pete, we appreciate the patience. How are you?
It's actually Keith. Can you hear me?
I got you, Keith. Loud and clear.
Okay, cool. So just real quick comments here. The question, I would take the defense with ahead by even one. I don't care. I love watching defense. Second question is, I love watching our defense, so I feel better about our defense than our offense. My only concern, guys, and I love the idea of Parsons on our team, and I will miss Kenny Clark. He was a great player, a great person, sure, a great part of the team. But my concern is I don't want to see a repeat of Za'Darius Smith on our defensive end. He was a great pass rusher, but he was a liability in the run game. That's the biggest reason, in my opinion, that Gary was on the Pro Bowl last year. Rashawn Gary made Pro Bowl last year because of his run defense's overall game. I don't want to see us slip back, and I think that's a danger that I worry about. And the other thing is $188 million, so now we're paying two players nearly 40% of the total cap. That's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, so all really good points by Keith. I totally agree with a lot of what he said there. I hear the concern. I think after you watch the Packers beat up on the Lions and their really good rushing attack in week one, that concern will be gone.
Yeah, and commenting on the run game, run defense and pass defense, they're just viewed a little bit differently, right? Mm-hmm. Pass defense, you can have success with maybe a couple guys doing their job. For instance, Micah Parsons has an elite pass rush, gets to the quarterback. That in itself can be a strong defense against the pass. Rush defense, it really is all 11 guys, right? I mean, even if one guy does what he's supposed to do, doesn't mean you're necessarily going to stop it. That's why the Joe Barry defenses and even a lot of the personnel, they got gashed because of personnel and alignment and how they attacked it and just kind of a full unit, 11 guys. I don't think there's going to be any steps back as far as the rush defense because of how Hafley approaches it and just the 11 guys on the field. That's how you stop the run.
The other part that Keith commented on, Keith and Madison there on the Carbo Stock and Text Line, 800-990-3776, was the salary cap. And Josh DiMaggio pointed this out a few hours ago, and I just think it's a really good point. Well, I'll give my point, and then I'll give Josh's. My point is this move is not for 2029. This move is not for 2030. This move is not for 2031. This move is for now. This move is to win a championship this year, next year, the following year. That's why you make a move and pay a guy as much money as Brian Gutekunst did with Micah Parsons yesterday. The Joshy point is, you know Russ Ball's name. Why do you think you know Russ Ball's name?
Because he's masterful at contract construction.
Bingo. He's really damn good at his job. He's one of the best in the league. We obviously live in the Packers-verse, but I don't think other teams know their, like, cap guy's name. I don't know any other team's cap guy's name. You probably do because he played for teams, but, like, I feel like Russ Ball's name gets brought up a lot more than other cap guys because he's that good. The Packers have always had highly paid players. And at this point, yes, they have a few of them, right? Obviously, Jordan Love and Micah Parsons, about 40% of the cap. The other good news is the cap's only going up at historic rates.
Yeah, skyrocketing.
I think we talked about this with Joshy before. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be due for a deal here soon as an elite pass rusher, an edge rusher. His contract is going to start with a 5 per year. It's going to be $50 million a year. That's just the way things go. They go up. So in a couple of years, this is going to look like a great deal. He might need to restructure, yada, yada. They'll be okay. This is a win-now move. The Packers are in win-now mode. And you should just revel in the fact that you have one of the best defensive players in the league. And, yeah, you have a franchise quarterback. We don't know how good he can be yet. Hopefully we find that out sooner than later.
Yeah, well, and real briefly, you know, it's what you talked about earlier with rising tide lifts all boats. Is if he performs...
No, the sea again.
We're back in the sea. We're a couple of sailors, you and me, Strophy. Just setting sail. if he performs at the level that he has throughout his career... It's not necessarily a deal, but it does spread out because it makes everyone around him that much better, right? At every single level. And you also talk about how this is a win-now move. At some point, it'll become a little bit punitive to have Jordan Love and Micah Parsons making these big ballooning cap numbers, but the cap will be higher at that point. Mm-hmm. But it's the reason why the next two seasons specifically, and even three, you're right, critical that the Packers get to and win a Super Bowl, because you talk about contracts like Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney. Those contracts are 4 years long. They've had... one of them. Mm-hmm. So in 2 years, they're probably going to be saying, well, I want an extension. I want this or that. The rookie contracts of Tucker Kraft and Matthew Golden and Evan Williams and Edgerrin Cooper, guys that you can get for a deal now, those guys will contribute more than their contract. And Micah Parsons might be a little bit higher. So either way, these decisions will have to be made in 2 or 3 years. But the next 2 or 3 years, it's a green light, all systems go.
I totally agree with you. 800-990-3776. Let's go to Lodi. Ben in Lodi, you're on KVN. What's up, Ben?
Hey, guys. Happy Feel Good Friday.
Indeed.
Just calling in to join in and all the celebrations. And I'm very, very happy about the Micah Parsons thing. I'm actually the last one at work on a Friday, so that's
good
why
for
I
you.
Called in.
Grinding.
Good for Ben. Yeah, boy, Ben. Nice.
Yep. Just doing some data entry, you know, just got to finish up some data entry, and then I get to go home and have a, or as Tosh would say, crush a Coors Light.
Very good.
I'm very, very excited about the Micah Parsons signing. I mean, I've been in the camp of not being very thrilled with Goody over the years. I mean, whether it be the Aaron Rodgers saga, the Devontae Adams, I mean, I was crying. Literally crying the day that he traded Devontae Adams. I mean, that was one of my favorite Packers ever. So I've been against this guy for a while now, and he's done some things. Don't get me wrong. He's definitely done some things to kind of sway me in the other direction, but then it always seems like it comes back to, what is this guy doing? He went out and made the boldest move that I think any GM has made in the past, I don't know, what do you want to say, 30 years? I mean, this is awesome. This is what Packer fans have been clamoring for. This is what we've wanted. I mean, how many times did we have Aaron Rodgers and say, let's go all in. Let's go. Like, the time is now. And I believe that the time is now for the Packers to win a Super Bowl in 2025 or 26, however you want to say it. But I believe the time is now. Goody's obviously feeling some pressure from Ed Policy.
Yeah, I think it certainly could be. We appreciate the call, Ben. I look, when it comes to the Aaron Rodgers thing, number one, I wonder how he's feeling today. Matthew Golden in the first round, and then Micah Parsons.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
I mean, and the other point of that is, remember when he said people come to Green Bay to play with me?
I guess that's not the case.
Not anymore, man. Micah
that
Parsons.
That is crazy. First round wide receiver and elite pass rusher in like 5 months.
Yeah.
And Rodgers has been clamoring for that.
I wonder how he's feeling today. I bet him and Brian Gutekunst probably not on speaking terms right now.
Oh, wow.
But all in all, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think the Packers are, you know, I say facetiously, like, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think a couple teams are obviously in the conversation, and I'm a Packers fan, so of course I'm going to say I think the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. I say that every year no matter what happened yesterday. I probably would have said it anyway today. Regardless, I think their chances are, they should be viewed as one of the favorites in the NFC. It's Philadelphia, it's Detroit, it's Green Bay. I think that's the end of the list.
Yeah, and honestly, if you fast forward 3 years, and let's say the Packers don't win a Super Bowl, for whatever reason, right? Like,
it's worth the swing every damn day.
I will not criticize Brian Gutekunst for it. I can only look back and say he did everything you possibly could have done. Like, we all agree the Packers have a few holes that are important holes, and he just went and got, statistically, as I read, one of the greatest pass rushers for sure in our generation, and he has even historic numbers. Like, even if it doesn't work out somehow, you look at it and say, this was the right move.
Absolutely. It totally will be viewed as that. Right? And I hate to compare it to this, because I think this is even a bigger deal than this was. But the Milwaukee Bucks, which we talk so much about, the Damian Lillard trade, right? It didn't work. But does anybody blame John Horst for pulling the trigger on bringing in Damian Lillard to try to win another chance? It was the right move.
It was the right move.
Nobody's blaming him for that. It was the correct swing to make for John Horst and the Milwaukee Bucks, just like this will always be that. But hopefully, we are not talking in 3 years without at least one Super Bowl champion.
And that would be wonderful. And then the only other thing is, sometimes you could criticize these moves if you are trying to get someone with a level of desperation that's past their prime, which is maybe the one thing about Damian Lillard. You could say, well, geez, he was kind of his best a couple of years ago, so what Damian Lillard are we going to get? There is no
indication.
He's
at the beginning of his prime.
He is starting his prime. And even if he just replicates what he does, he's already historically great.
Yes, correct. If he continues to go on this pace, he will be
a Hall of Famer. It reduces the risk, so to speak.
All right, one final call. Oh, Canada. Let's go to Canada. Ricardo in Canada. You're on KBN. What's up, Ricardo?
My God, boys. Is there nothing better than what we're feeling right now, this moment? Like, the world is great. Sky is blue. Everything is fantastic. We literally have brought the bringer of rain to Green Bay. This is ridiculous. Like, last night when I found out, I was literally arriving from Portugal. I was on the plane. As soon as it turned on, I started going crazy. My wife said, what's wrong with you? I'm like, you have no idea what just happened. This is amazing, boys. And the last thing I want to say is the best run defense we're going to have is not Micah Parsons. Is Jordan Love scoring up the points so that we can just unleash these pass rushers that are going to be going. Like, our D-line is going to be phenomenal.
That's
now
a good point.
You got to double Micah. So everyone else is going to be single team. And last thing I was going to say, if Jeff Hafley's hearing me, please, the first play of the game against Detroit, blitz everybody. I mean, bring all seven in the front box. Bring everybody just to set a tone. I don't care if you got to make a – bring Micah, Rashawn, bring Edrin, bring Quay, bring everybody and be like, listen, this is how it's going to be for the whole year. We're bringing the house.
Here's the thing I love about that for Ricardo is – so for the last two seasons, and I think I did it again at some point this offseason, I'll do it again now, is I say, hey, can we go back to that play against Minnesota in the opener a few years ago, the very first offensive play where they just sent Christian Watson down the sideline his rookie year?
I like that.
I want to do that this year with Matthew Golden. And then, yeah, I agree with Ricardo. The first defensive play of the season, let's just blitz everybody.
Max blitz. And honestly, Ricardo makes a really good point. If Jordan Love in the offense holds up their end of the bargain, you will be in a situation where you have the lead, opposing teams forced to pass. That's perfect for this defense.
I love it.
Opportunistic, now with a pass rush. Forget about it.
We're going to take a break from the calls. We will get back to you in the 4 o'clock hour. It's coming up next. I will spoil this for you. It is my Packers parody song on a Friday. The penultimate, at least for now, Packers off-season parody song. But I'll take it one step further as we go to break. It is the Micah Parsons Packer parody song. And that is coming up next. It's Kyle Brust and Nortman, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Kyle Brust and Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Conversations continue on Kyle Brust and Norton, ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Stroh, Brad Norton, Chris Larson hanging out with you until 5 o'clock on ESPN Milwaukee. About 20 more minutes on ESPN Madison, ESPN Beaver Dam, ahead of Jim, Matt, and Molly. That would be Joshy and Molly on ESPN Madison. And Corey and Wally, the damn sports show coming up at 4 o'clock on ESPN Beaver Dam. All right, we had last Friday off because of Ben's wedding, so no parody song. But every week for the last, I think, 12 weeks or the last 3 months, I've been making a Packers parody song. No shortage of content to pick from today. However, a shortage of time to make the song. So I'll let it speak for itself in just a moment. But I will just say, I think from an anthem perspective, it might be my best one. From a sing-along perspective, it might be my best one.
Wow.
So without further ado, I present to you the penultimate Friday Packers offseason parody song. When dreaming, I'm wanting another Super Bowl, time and time again. The D-line, last year they were asleep. Goody doesn't want to leave the comfort of his picks. 'Cause out in Dallas, a longing to escape from Jerry's world out to Green Bay. So let's go there. Micah, make an escape. Come on, let's go there. He asked, can we stay in his Green Bay, Micah? With a GM named Gutekunst. It is a Green Bay, Micah. We will win some Super Bowls.
Again!
It is Green Bay, Micah. With a GM named Gutekunst. It is a Green Bay, Micah. We will win some Super Bowls.
Again! No, just kidding.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. That is it. That is your Friday Packers parody song. Higher by Creed. It is Green Bay, Micah.
Well, I want to hate it.
Rightfully so.
But I just can't.
Yeah.
It's so good. First of all, you know how I feel about Creed. When Creed and Linkin Park was here a few weeks ago, you know that I hold them in high esteem.
Yeah. Yeah.
High esteem. And so your commitment to being a chameleon and sounding just like Creed is remarkable. That is remarkable. Did you also do this for another layer of one of the most iconic moments of Creed is when they are singing that song for the Dallas Cowboys halftime show, and he's flying
I'm
through the air.
I'm shocked you caught on to that.
Yeah.
I have called that the greatest halftime show in the history of halftime shows many times.
It was remarkable. Beautiful. Majestic.
That was done on purpose. So
wow.
I'm glad you picked up on that.
Layers of meaning stroke.
Yes. I was just trying to think of a chorus that I could fit Micah into.
Yeah.
And Higher came to mind. So your feedback, your criticism, your critiques, any of the in-betweens are allowed. 800-990-3776 is the Carpool's Talking text line. Unified Mimes says, Strofe is the man. The man. Thank you very much, Unified Mimes. Joseph says, wow, Strofe. Boom. Slum Mafia says, amazing. Levi says, man, that's good and funny on the text line. John says, well done, Creed, LOL. Chris says, I beg you to stop. And Molly Brown, who you will hear coming up in just a bit on ESPN Madison, texts the personal talk and text line. She says, you are so cringe.
People don't know what like our production studios look like. Imagine like an oversized closet.
Yeah.
You guys how big these are? And they're all right there. We do a pretty good job at like soundproofing those rooms. But I just imagine our teammates walking by and Strofe with headsets on probably going, higher. I mean, however you do it.
This is Green Bay, Micah. Yeah, I was really loud.
Someone needs to do a wellness check. Yeah. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I close my eyes and I feel like you are indeed Scott Stapps.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to channel my inner Scott Stapp. I don't know how well I did, but yeah, you know that 2000s punk voice. I've done it a few times in this series.
This has got to be one of the most well-received songs you've done.
Yeah, I've only gotten a few negative texts. You can keep texting those in, 800-990-3776. Kevin feels like Brad. He said, oh my God, it's so perfect. I hate it so much, but I can't stop listening. David chimes in, usually I cover my ears when Strofe sings, but damn, that one slaps.
That was good. I mean, you've found your niche with like 90s, 2000s rock, because I still think Jair's dad is elite. That's one of, if you have like an album now, you've got a full catalog of songs, and I think your best, your comfort zone for creating hits is indeed 90s and 2000s.
It might be. It might be. Oh, no. Dustin says, no more Creed, ever. Scott Strofe, some are calling me. Scott Strofe?
Scott Strofe.
That sounds like I'm 48 years old, which I am certainly not, so...
Scott Strofe.
Mervin chimes in, Strofe, forget about the penultimate and make that one last. Make that one the last one. That said, I can't stop laughing.
Oh, yeah, it was so
that
good.
Bad. It was that bad. Dustin says that does not, in fact, slap. All right.
As these Turn Up Friday songs have a tendency of doing, that song is going to be living in my head all weekend.
As we do each and every week, just text yes or no if you want to hear it again at 4:30. 800-990-3776. At 4:30, we'll either play it again, or if we get an overwhelming no, we will not play it again. 800-990-3776. It's yes or no on KBN if you would like to hear my version of Higher by Creed again at 4:30. Otherwise, we will get back to the Packers. Are they the top dog in the NFC? Brad and I discuss that coming up next. It's Kyle Bruston-Nortman, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Oh, 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 it was
Suicide Saturday. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah, Kyle Bruston-Nortman with you on a feel-good Friday. The Micah Parsons is a Packer party. Rolls out. Alex Strofe, Brad Nortman with you. Chris Larson is running the show for us on this fine Friday. Come on, Dan. 800-990-3776. As we just debuted this week's Packers parody song that I do each and every Friday on the show. Look, a lot of people hate it. A lot of people love it. People are texting in, you should play it again, but I absolutely despise it. This might be the funniest text I've ever received in the history of doing these songs. This is from Dan in the 608. I am very hearing impaired. That was the first time I've ever been thankful for it.
Very hearing impaired.
Dan, I just hope I didn't make it any worse.
Oh,
that's,
wow.
That's what I hope for.
What a gift, though, to give somebody's a challenge in their life that they're thankful for. Yeah. You gave that to him, Strofe.
I guess.
You gave that to him.
I guess. I guess that's...
Oh, wow.
Mike chimes in. Is it bad I was singing along? No, it's not. I wanted everybody to sing along. That's why I picked that song. All right. We got a couple minutes left on ESPN Madison, ESPN Beaver Dam. With you until 5 o'clock on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. Brian, you posed this question earlier, but I wanted to hear from the people today, man. We're a show of the people.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to hear from KBN Nation and all their thoughts on everything that's happened the last... we're coming up on 24 hours now since Micah Parsons was officially traded to the Green Bay Packers and elevates this defense to Super Bowl hopes, you know, championship levels. But you posed the question earlier. Do you view the Packers in the same sphere as the Eagles now? Obviously, the reigning Super Bowl champion, a team that beat you twice last year. And I guess I'll let you answer first, and then I'll give my perspective on it.
Yeah, quite simply, as I think about the question, are the Green Bay Packers the best team in the NFC? Clearly, the two teams that you'd be concerned about would be the Eagles and the Lions. I think the Packers are now firmly better than the 49ers and the Commanders and the Buccaneers, other teams that you'd consider in that conversation. But I think they're better than the Lions. Maybe it's a coin flip, and maybe it's just the hometown bias, but I do think they're better than the Lions. I think they're going to beat them week one. And if they face each other in the playoffs, I do think they're going to beat them. I think last year was their year, and they missed out. Now I think the Packers are ascending, they're descending. Unfortunately, though, I think the Packers are the second-best team in the NFC. I think the Eagles are still better. I think they've got just as good, if not maybe better than quarterback, running back, wide receivers, and O-line. Like that offense is bona fide studs, and they still have studs and all pros at every level of the defense, just like the Green Bay Packers do. Pretty well coached. Well, more than pretty well coached. They won a Super Bowl. They're well. The one thing is, as the Chiefs are finding, and as many teams find, it's very, 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 very hard to repeat a Super Bowl. It's a gauntlet. It's an emotional journey, winning or losing it. So I stand here today saying I think the Packers are the second best team in the NFC. I think they've surpassed the Lions by a razor's edge, but I do think it's still Philadelphia's conference to lose. Now, I'm not saying that that means they won't go to the Super Bowl. Anything can happen. But as we stand here today, I think they're the second best team in the NFC, which gives you a hell of a shot to make the Super Bowl.
It seems like over the course of the last few years, especially, I'm sure this it's always been this way, right? It's be the man, you got to beat the man. And to be the man, I think sometimes you have to copy the recipe of the man, right? And when it comes to what the Packers did this offseason, it looks to me like they tried to look at what the Philadelphia Eagles were good at and copy it, especially given what they did yesterday by trading for Micah Parsons. But even prior to that, what are the Eagles good at? They have a good running back, so do the Packers, Josh Jacobs, right? Two workhorses in Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs. So they have that part figured out. One thing that was shining bright, and I don't mean that in a good way, against the Eagles in that playoff game is once Elgton Jenkins was injured, the offensive line crumbled. So what did Goody do this offseason? He went out and signed Aaron Banks. He used a second-round pick on an offensive lineman. He shuffled some things around, and voila, hopefully you have an improved offensive line. That's one check. Another thing that the Philadelphia Eagles had figured out, good wide receiver room. What does Goody do? He goes in the first round and he drafts Matthew Golden to add to a bunch of guys that are still up and coming, and hopefully some of them can, well, you know what we always say on the show, take the next step. And when you look at the defensive line and the pass rush, that is something Philadelphia was as good as anybody in the league at. And what does Goody go out and do yesterday?
Goes out and replicates that.
He goes and gets maybe the best pass rusher in all of football.
Yeah.
In Micah Parsons. On top of firing and hiring a new defensive line coach into Marcus Covington that everybody has raved about, the former Patriots defensive coordinator as of last year. The Packers have replicated what the Eagles did. That's not to say they're going to be as good as what the Eagles are, given that they did just win a Super Bowl, but they've gone out and done just about everything they can to stack up to the Eagles. And we'll find out November 10th on a Monday Night Football game on ESPN and ABC at Lambeau Field just how well they've done with that on November 10th. But as it stands right now, it looks like the Packers are shaping up to be just as good as the Eagles. They don't have one of those best quarterbacks in the NFL, but they have a good quarterback in Jalen Hurts. I view him as probably right now the best quarterback or the second best quarterback in the NFC. The Packers are not there yet because we haven't seen them.
Still got to earn it. Still got to earn it.
They haven't hit the field yet. But if they come out week one and two and punch two teams in the mouth, in Detroit, who has won your division each of the last two seasons, and Washington, who represented, well, they didn't represent, but they were one of two teams in the NFC to be in the NFC Championship game last year. Packers come out and start 2-0. I think it's time to start looking at them, as we already do, but even more so, with that side eye going, whoa, this team might be Super Bowl good.
Yeah, I mean, this trade in itself is a statement. You start the season in 5 days and you beat two other NFC contenders. However you do it, whether it's convincing or not, that's a statement to the rest of the league. Statement made in the trade. Now the statement on the field can be just as powerful. We're going to find out soon enough here, Stroh. Football, real football, it's almost here.
It's almost here indeed. He's Brad Nordman. I'm Alex Stroh. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Micah Parsons Party Friday. Molly Brown and Josh DiMaggio will continue to celebrate with you on ESPN Madison coming up next. On ESPN Beaver Dam, my guys Corey and Wally Lukashinsky. On the best damn sports show, as Kyle Wallace calls it. That's coming up from 4 to 5 ahead of Homer on ESPN Beaver Dam. Brad and I continue with you on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. As we'll play a little pole position, we'll hear the Packers song again, and we'll continue to celebrate. That's next. It's ESPN Wisconsin.